week on MDX Unplugged, we chat with Fahad, the viral parody podcaster roasting motivational speakers, calling out influencer culture, and turning Sunday League football into pure entertainment. From building a hit social media agency, pulling millions of views, he shares the laughs, lessons, and wild stories behind his rise.
So ladies and gentlemen, we are in for a special treat today. I'm not doing an introduction. Fahad.
I can't even cuss.
That's why we're going to go with the cuss.
Okay, welcome to episode XYZ. We're not so sure which number we'll be putting this, but we have a guest. Or should I say... I'm not going to say anything. But anyways,
okay.
Wow.
All right. Today, all right. No worries. Let's try that again. Today we have a special guest. I'm sure everybody has seen him on TikTok, especially Instagram, all the corporate 200 plus companies he's worked with.
maybe more.
Yeah. Who knows?
I lost count.
All FYP pages, of course, in the whole GCC, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Introducing the man, the myth, the legend. Fahad.
Hi, guys. Hello. I'll also clap for myself.
Clap both.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'll give that introduction a 6 out of 10.
That's okay. Improvement. Fair enough.
Well, I give you 7.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know what? I'll take
I'll one
it.
You are a CR7 fan, so take the win.
You know, nice. Fair play.
Nice.
So, we'll start with your introduction. If you want to introduce yourself to the audience, the crowd who watches this, I guess.
I make fun of podcasts on TikTok.
Repeat of last time, episode as well. Okay. But it's okay. We are all in for the joke as well.
Yeah.
We don't take this seriously, but it's okay. Whatever drives.
Yes.
That's true. I can't really complain, can
I? Of course. Yeah. And I run a social media agency that creates TikToks for brands and individuals. It's now being entirely run without me. That's why I'm here in this podcast on a Monday.
He's made it to that level. Yeah. That he can put his faith in the team.
Yeah, and they will disappoint you, but you have to put your faith in the team. Otherwise, it won't grow. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I make videos making fun of people, essentially. Yeah.
Who's your favorite one to roast?
Who's my favorite? All the motivational speakers, name them. From Gary Vee to Tony Robbins.
Jay Shetty.
David Goggins?
David Goggins, I kind of like. Yeah. I like. David Goggins, I actually listen to for motivation. Okay. But like the other ones are just talking.
I was about to drop another one, but I realized probably for legal reasons I shouldn't.
Okay. Especially GC.
Okay.
What do you mean? You respect the name?
Yeah.
Fair enough. So you make fun of podcasts?
Yeah.
So how does that go by?
Well, I sit in front of the camera in a similar setting to this. Mm-hmm. And I say nonsensical stuff like, why do you pay for land when it exists for free? And then usually there's no one sitting in front of me because I've already pre-recorded the guests. And I just clip it and it'll get 10 million views maybe, or 5 million views.
He says it with so much like, it's 10 million. That's not
yeah.
Oh, it's like a schizophrenic patient.
Yes. Yes.
Like, have you seen him shooting the BTS? Like, he'll just yap so much.
Yeah, in the last, 1 hour, I was just being trained on your content. Yeah. I was like, how have I not seen this?
Yeah, no.
I've been missing out on
my... It's funny because, unfortunately, my content does not resonate as much with the regional audience from, UAE, Saudi, Qatar. It's more for the US. It's more there. And South Africa also for... A very weird reason. And they just like this
US and South Africa.
Yeah, that's my top.
You know, a classic pairing is US UK, not US South Africa.
Yeah.
So basically, white people.
Yeah, white and.
Yo, Mandela didn't suffer for that, bro.
Yeah. All types of people.
All types of people. Yeah.
We accept diversity.
Yeah.
Diversity. That's our main marketing selling point. Diversity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, before we continue, let's not forget the great commitments and efforts of our producer, Josh. Already has a good start to the editing season.
Diversity
higher.
Because we are for South Asian representatives, Sri Lankan, Indian, Pakistani.
Britannia.
Nice.
Britannia. So
it's a very, very common trend with the Commonwealth over here.
Yeah.
More or less. So how did you come up with this whole idea on the whole podcast marking, or isn't that concerning?
It's all trial and error. It actually started with Twitter for me. Mm-hmm. Twitter and Snapchat. I always used to create these small videos, like short videos, when Vine was still a thing,
yeah,
or whatever I thought was funny. Like, I'll record this pair of sunglasses and put a sound behind it and try to make a meme out of that. Like, it was just basic stuff. And then I remember something I posted on Twitter picked up. It was also a random short clip of a meme that I created where I was trying to trick a robot into shaking my hand. I like psyched him. Like, I went for shaking his hand and then I just pulled my hand back and that blew up. And so it was just, for me, it was just for the bands always. Like, I really didn't care about the business aspect. I was becoming an electrical engineer in uni. I was in AUS, then I was in RIT after I dropped out of AUS because I lost my scholarship.
All our enemies.
Now you see, we don't have to worry about losing scholarships with us, but
to be fair, my CGPA was 1.37, so.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We can
make
it work.
We can make it work.
We can make it work. The right connections.
I know a counselor.
Okay. Okay.
Interesting.
And, so yeah, this was just like side hobby kind of a thing. And then when I saw that something can gain traction without having any followers, that was the first time I saw that on Twitter. When my tweet went to like 500,000 impressions overnight, I was like, I don't have followers. How is this happening? So like the common thinking was like, you need to be an influencer, or you boost your content, then you get reach, or someone famous reposts you or do some sort of a giveaway. And then from Twitter, pages from Instagram started reaching out to me, like Puberty, Memes Are, and stuff like these, like different meme pages started contacting me for my content. And I was like, okay, back then there was no Reels. So my Instagram was limited to the following it had.
Yeah.
And I started gaining followers because they were posting my content and tagging my account. I was like, this is fun. Let's do more. Amidst all of this, a lot of changes happened in my life, which led me to dropping out of college, then a lot of jobs in between all of this on parallel. And eventually I reached a point in my content where I was like just sitting with myself and thinking, what can I do that can take my content to the next level? I was stuck on like 600,000 followers or 200,000 followers. June 2021, or 2022.
That was kind of like a breaking moment.
I mean, I kind of had gone viral like on a mini level now with TikTok, but I was like, I need to do something different. Like, I can't be doing trends. I can't be just doing what everyone else
is doing. If you're going to make a trend, you make it yourself.
Yeah, like something unique. And it has to be in line with what I enjoy doing, because if I don't enjoy it, I will burn out really fast. And so I remember this specific summer, I don't remember the year, maybe 2022 or 2021 or 2023, Gary Vee was all over my FYP.
Oh, that was 2020.
Yeah,
that
was around that time, yeah.
All over my
Just
FYP.
Just as COVID ended, Gary Vee ended.
Bro, he was, shut up. Every second video was Gary Vee talking about, like, hey, you guys should invest in this. And you should run ads.
Even if two people see it, it's still two people in the crowd. And
I was like,
just two people are my mom and my dad. What are they going to do for me? 50-year-olds?
People can't be buying this Like, he wasn't selling a course or anything, I think.
It's okay. No, don't worry. Keep going.
Explain it later. But no, it's all right.
Yeah, but in general, I was like, and it wasn't just Gary Vee. It was a bunch of more motivational speakers like that, you know, and everyone has an agenda behind whatever they're doing. And it's fair. You know, I'm not saying what he's doing is wrong or he's misleading people, but like it kind of became repetitive.
It's okay. Fine. It's fine.
That's
okay.
That's a classic. Don't worry.
That's a classic, but yes, continue.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Go ahead.
And, so I recorded my first ever motivational video, which was literally I kept my phone on a tissue box,
okay,
like that, because I didn't have a tripod, didn't have a mic. So I grabbed my sister's phone and I just, like I said, random words.
Like, so when you say motivational, who are you trying to inspire that moment?
I wasn't trying to inspire anyone. I was just taking the out of motivational speakers. Like, I didn't care about inspiring anyone. Like,
you were just doing for the...
No. You did inspire people that day. You inspired people to realize that motivational speakers can be popular.
Maybe. I didn't think of it like that. At that point, I was just fed up. There was two goals. One, I need to crack the algorithm and blow up. That was a personal goal. Mm-hmm. And two, I need to make fun of like people who are...
You just had to rage at someone.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then you were like,
it's just in me.
Social media, that's the place.
Yeah. I think COVID time, everybody was just bored and they wanted like, okay, well, how can we like actually people off? That was the whole thing on its own. Yeah. Anything. For him, it's podcasters and like motivational speakers.
So this is before podcasters. This wasn't even podcasts.
So this was not even in the mind at the
time. Podcast was not on the radar. So I was like, okay. And I shot that video and it got 200,000 views. Normal. I was getting like views.
That was
like,
in your range.
It was within my range, but this was different. Mm-hmm. I was getting an extremely high level of engagement. Like people who were not commenting on my videos before were now commenting. New people were showing up on my page. I did another one the next day. 500,000 views. I did another one the day after. 1 million views. Fourth post, 7 million views. And I was like, did I just hit gold? And then I just started pumping content out like 3 videos a day. So my sister will record me walking left and right in my room in Sharjah, Abu Shagara.
You have a Sharjah brethren right here.
Yeah.
Majaz.
I'm in Majaz now. I'm moving.
Lovely.
Yeah. You're still in Sharjah.
Yeah. I mean, my family's in Sharjah. I'm in Dubai, but I'm in and out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
In your case as well.
Yeah. Same case.
So I was like, this is working. Let's feed the monster more. And every other day, I'm just walking left and right. I had this IKEA spotlight, like one of these, in my room, and it would be pointed at me. I still remember two of the bulbs had kind of fused, so it would give the right amount of dimming effect. Like, just because it was enough to look professional. Like, if you go through my videos, you'll see it's like a wall, and I'm just walking left and right, like as if I'm on stage.
It's just like a perfectly set case right there.
Yes, and I would just blurt words. And one of the videos, I said, become a chair at the end of the whole speech, which was 15 seconds. People caught on to that. And people started saying, become a chair. And then chair became a meme with me attached to it. And I jumped from 200K to 750K in 3 months. And generated close to half, like at least 100 million. At least 50 million to 100 million. I don't remember. It's a big range. I don't remember. I didn't do a math. Every video would get 1 million.
He says that again so nonchalant. Yeah. Everything would get 1 million.
Yeah. It was TikTok's algorithm pushing it nonstop and followers were coming in. And then I saw Jumpers Jump podcast. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Yep. Mm.
And then I was like, this is something that I can make fun of too. Because like everything is a conspiracy theory for them. Let's try it out. Do this.
It's like you just saw it and you were like, yeah, time to cancel you.
Yes. And then I did that for a while, but it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped and then I went back and then it was just kind of like, let's continue milking this cow till it dries up. And then I continued that for a while. And then I revisited the podcast structure. And you need to understand something. There's no structure. Like I'm just saying random. Like I'm saying, when I was 5 years old, I was five. How old were you? Like, I'm just putting random sentences together.
No, it's very philosophical. Even
in the podcast, that was the format. Like, I just brought that to the podcast. And it wasn't working as well in the podcast, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. But then through research and through trial and error, I reached a point where I would say very obvious facts that you wouldn't normally think about. So, like, I remember I said, this was one of the first ones that made me realize that it's working. Did you know the word incorrectly is spelled incorrectly in the dictionary? Or the word incorrect is spelled incorrect in the dictionary? So it's like a paradoxical statement. Mm-hmm. I just randomly Googled it, said it, and I said, isn't that concerning? Naturally, at the end of the video.
Okay.
And at this point, I'm recording these videos with myself. So I'm sitting in front of the camera in a studio.
So just like with you, your phone camera, your laptop.
No, I went to the studio. Okay. I don't know if I can shout their name out, but I went to the studio.
Well, that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, they're called Podster.
Yes.
Quite popular.
Yeah.
Back then they weren't Podster. They were just an IT company who had a small corner in the room.
It's like a rental.
It's like us.
renting it out.
Yeah, I was just renting it out and I just enjoyed the vibe and I was invited for a podcast there, by the way. And since then I was like, I want to come and shoot my content here.
So you've been there ever since?
No, I mean, I spent quite a lot of my early stage content over there, but I have my own setup now. So
as time goes, you have to grow as well.
Yeah, but no, I'm in and out of the studio a lot. Like, I have very good ties with them. So yeah, I shot that. I would bring two shirts, white and black or something, whatever, sit on this side of the camera, record all the questions, and then give reactions on the other side, and then edit it.
It's easy content. I think you just do it in like five.
From 700K, I blew up to like 2.5 million just doing that in like another year. Yeah. Now I'm sitting on 3.9. And I'm on a flat.
Oh, great. Well, never mind. Now I have to clap. Now is when I got to clap.
Yeah. And it's kind of a plateau now with the whole podcast thing again. Mm. I kind of gave it a break in the last couple of months. But then, like, I posted a video just yesterday and it got 500,000 views again. So I'm like, should I just kill this or should I continue this? And I'm like kind of in a paradox with myself.
We'll kill this after this podcast. We'll think about it.
Yeah. Listen, as much as we love hearing other podcasts being roasted, is there some type of deal we can do to keep us out of the...
I have
connections. We can make something work.
No, roast us.
So look, the theme of my podcast is roasting the term podcast in general. I'm not targeting any podcaster.
Yeah, that's good to know. That's good to know.
So I just say stuff like which are actual facts. Shower thoughts, kind of.
Shower thoughts.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So with this whole big brand blow up, you're able to start your own business.
Well, my business already started working like three years before this. Yeah. I was doing K9.
This was before...
This happened after...
It was back in 2020, 2019.
K9 started in 2020, October.
Yeah.
So I always knew that even if I do blow up as a content creator or influencer, it's not going to help me sustain financially with everything that I want to do, shift my parents, financially be independent. Because if I'm the slave of a brand's sponsorship on my content, I'll have to be super big to make that my living. Like I have to reach like 100 million followers where that...
Sustain for a long time.
But a faster way right now where I was at that point with like 10,000, 50,000 followers is that if I run a business which helps businesses grow their social media, and this way I've now built a machine that guarantees me income every month, and I can build my own dream on the side. So I had like this two paths at the same time where I was building my own social media, I was giving it less effort, and I was really giving effort to the clients.
But I guess that also comes with the fact like running an agency. At a point, I guess you had to like manage the time until it reached a point where you were able to equally dedicate
it,
right?
It did. It finally did. Like now I'm there. Like now I'm on the other side. Like now I don't need to spend as much time with my agency as I did 5 years ago.
And that's why you
now you just take a back seater, just relax, do your own thing.
And you got the money flowing in with the shareholdings.
Gained 17 kgs over the last 5 years.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. 17 kgs.
Yeah, bro. I was like,
I mean, I know 80. A good fitness consultant. He's very good, especially with his partnerships.
The problem is not coaches or like personal trainer. I've tried everything. It's me. I just can't get rid of food. Which,
what exactly? I remember you had like a series where like fitness thing.
Bro, I've tried it all. Almost everything.
So how did that end? Or what exactly happened to that?
I was just sitting and fed up with myself. I was like, I need to lose weight. Like I used to be super skinny. So I was like, I'm going to make fun of myself as a fat person.
Okay.
And I put myself on the spot. Oof. And I will show people my weight and I will show people where I am in my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I will document that every day with a TikTok. I made a separate account and it started off well. I got like 300,000 views.
Yeah, I remember this game. Everyone's at 5 years away. Like, another account.
People were like, yo, this is the same guy who does this. And like new people started following me.
Mm-hmm.
So as a social media experiment, it was great. But then day four, I'm ordering some fast food restaurant. and I'm showing it.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling people the truth.
I'm showing every single thing.
I was like, like I failed.
Albeck came into play, didn't it?
Yeah.
Albeck finally landed in Dubai and you're like, you know, I know I'm doing this thing, but time to review.
So how many days do you go for?
I did like maybe 50 days or 40.
Okay, 50.
That's 50 still...
or 15?
No. I went a month at least. Month to 2 months at least. But no, people started making fun of me because I was making fun of myself in a way. Like people were like, this is not a weight loss journey. This is a weight gain journey. It was hilarious. And it was funny. Like it was funny for my friends as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having a good time as well. Cause like, I remember my business partner, my best friend Majdi, in one of the last videos, I was recording myself. Hey guys, this is my day 67 or something. And then Munchie starts laughing in the background. He's like, oh my God. He literally just
so
ordered.
Mid recording, you got your friend in the background laughing and going like, so what do you guys want from Burger King?
Yeah,
right now?
Yeah.
I'm going to get the big Whopper meal right here.
Yeah. And I also started laughing. And like, I kind of just kind of dropped it because it's not going anywhere.
No, but it's like, I find like a lot interesting in that sense because like, there's not a lot of people that will take that leap to make content that's like successful, but it also involves like, you know, calling your own self out.
If you can't call yourself out and you only call people out, then can you really call people out yourself?
Isn't that concerning?
How did that line up for that?
He did that. Fair enough. Makes sense though.
So we're going to own the copyright to that.
Go for it.
Go. So there's no plan on bringing that back. But again, it's quite...
No, I did it, bro. Then I did a sponsorship with... I don't know if I can say the brands.
Go for it.
I did it with Calo.UAE.
Yes,
bro, I actually lost weight.
Okay.
I went down from 97 to 93 kgs in 2 months.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay.
Super. Like, it was the lowest weight I have been and the slimmest I've been in 5 years. But then again, I wanted to eat food. Like, I'm...
Yeah, here's the thing that people don't understand. Like, you, even for certain people, like with high performance athletes, right? Sometimes it's just that one craving.
Bro, I just
need it.
I don't accept the fact that my metabolism owns me. Mm. I want to own my metabolism, right? I want to outrun my own cellular functioning.
I used to own it.
Yeah.
Now it's catching up with me.
And I hate that. Like, personally, as Fahad, I hate the fact that I can't control the way my burning rate works, and like as I age, it's getting slower and slower. So it's just like a battle between myself and my own subconscious, maybe, that you kind of have to just give in and like control. I can do intermittent fasting. I know if I want to, like, that's also a problem because I know I can do it.
If a brand sponsors you? Like,
they did, bro.
What if we get another brand?
No, I don't know. Like, no, it's,
I don't know.
In like, sense, like, would you do like a proper transformation? Then, if like another brand comes in, like, hey, we want this like an experiment,
like a 1 year,
or would you be like, yeah, no.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm in the place to accept it. Like, mentally, I'm just so laid back with the whole process. Like, I'm going to the gym.
Okay.
I do 30 minutes of cardio, pretty much every day, nonstop, 7 speed on the treadmill.
Okay.
I have stamina. I play football twice a week. I'm doing all these things, but I'm also eating in excess.
Eating a lot, yeah.
So I'm not losing weight, but I'm not gaining weight either. I've not been at the same weight for the longest time as I have been lately.
It's kind of like it's kind of like that sweet spot, you know?
Yeah. But I would like to drop off. Like, I could maintain that weight at a lower level as well. That's what I want to eventually figure out.
I mean, hey, like I said, I know a guy.
Okay. In Fahad, we trust.
I can get you 75% discount on the monthly payment.
Anyhow, speaking of which, we'll talk about influencers. Now, I call out influencers. It's like a love and hate. Like, I like some of them. Yeah. Most of them is like...
They're all...
Yeah, there you go.
Now, moving on to the next segment.
So, the thing is... I'm not sure how companies work over here when it comes to knowledge of influencers and their following. You know, most influencers over here who are big, it's all bot followers, but they get into all these big invites.
Yeah.
And then there are some micro influencers with much higher engagement. They may not have as much followers, but their reach goes from like...
Yeah.
But why are still brands investing in the bigger ones and not the small ones? I mean,
the problem is managements that are sitting in these brands. When, think of it like this, when you're like 7 or 8 years old and you do like this big thing at home, like, or at school, like you make this project or you make this painting or whatever, you want to run home and show it to your dad, look, I did this, or like you want approval of your parents. All of the managements that are sitting in these companies are like that to their CEOs. Like, hey, look, we got this big influencer, look, we got this guy with these many followers. That's literally the name of the game. So if you don't have the followers, unfortunately, they don't have anything to show for. Even if you have engagement, they don't care. Like, it's better for them to get someone with more followers to do a post which gets engagement than someone with less followers.
I could just spend like a good $15 and get like 100K right now, and then let's see what happens.
Yeah, potentially.
But in terms of organic growth, it's
just how it is, unfortunately. And that's kind of why I started my agency, because I saw that firsthand when I was working in another media firm, that brands are paying 15,000 dirhams for one post and they will not have any guarantee of the reach. And most of the times it just kind of flops or it's instantaneous reach and it drops. So I was like, there's definitely a way to make it better for the brands. And so when TikTok happened, I was like, you don't need followers. You don't need models. Yeah. You can make POV content blow up.
And that's like TikTok is also the best proof of that fact.
Yeah. And that's exactly how our agency was born. Like, we focused, we till date only focused on organic reach. Our motto at one point was, don't work with influencers, become the influencer.
Ooh.
Yeah. I like we did that with so many of our clients. Tofik is the biggest example of that. He started at zero. He's at 1.4 million followers now.
I mean, if you know him, I would like a discount code.
Okay. Sure. Or just I'll hit you up when we're doing the next shoot and doing the battery percentage discount.
I'll have my power bank. You don't want to have that. I'll get 99%.
Yeah. He's doing some big stuff now with that. Like, he's giving away way more money.
Yeah.
And he's launching some big stuff now.
So how do these micro influencers can fight against these big ones?
You can't. Mm-hmm. It's just like you're talking about changing like the educational system, the board structure. Like, for you to change the way these brands think, all the managements in these brands need to grow old, die, and then Gen Z needs to come into their place. Right? No, I'm not saying like I'm just saying evolutionary change will
change. There we go.
Right. It will happen. We're like maybe next generation, not this.
But I'm guessing, like, in at least from like your perspective, someone that focuses on organic growth and organic views, that competition and struggle is very real, right?
I mean, yeah, like when you're talking to someone like Sephora, they're our client, and you're talking about organic content, they're like, yeah, but then also we have these influencers that we want to work with at the same time, you know. So your budget does get eaten up. It is a competition, but sometimes the organic content outperforms what an influencer could do. And it has happened in the past. So,
and on that conversation, like, for you, like someone that has, like, in a way, like, knows how to get that organic content, but then companies that might be like, okay, we need you to work with these influencers. What is that conversation like? Someone that's organic.
We're always open to everything. Like, okay, you want to work with these influencers? Up until like this last month, we haven't done any influencer marketing. Like, even if a brand asked us, we were like, look, there's thousands of agencies that can do it. But like this last month, because I have the followers and I have this huge network of influencers who are my friends, this is way easier for me to do it. So I was like, sure. And I did it for one development company who are launching something in Business Bay. I just called up some of the friends that I knew and I was like, look, there's a project. This is what you'll get. And so we gave it, like, yeah, sure. And he wants to do organic content. So it's their, as a brand, is their choice.
Is it like a UA thing or just like around the world?
I wouldn't know around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But like UA,
because when I do
Saudi,
some research, sure. Like if it's US or whatever, it's a bit more filtered. They kind of do a lot more research in like being part of like.
I'm pretty sure because they kind of set the trend for these mm-hmm. things, right?
Yeah, so they're kind of
Google,
more mindful and careful.
Meta Ads was not born in Middle East. Mm-hmm. It was born there. So like I'm sure they're like the epicenter. Like they know what they're doing way more than us.
But when you see these product launches or big events, you have your organic ones, but most of them are just like, they have like 100K, but their likes and views does not add up with the whole thing.
Yeah, so it's a very shady business.
Shady business is wild way to frame it.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, he's the master. He's mastered TikTok.
I've seen it firsthand.
You can see the soul-sucking struggle inside his eyes right now. Look at his
people
face.
Have gone as far as photoshopping their insights, right? This is like 4 years ago.
Wait. Like, you mean like
a brand with
the Instagram analytics section?
Yeah, like my insights will show you top city as Dubai, but mm-hmm. the top country might be South Africa, right? And that's not necessarily good for brands. I haven't seen it with my own eyes, but I've heard companies would Photoshop the analytics of the influencers that they're selling just to get the deal, or influencers would have done that. I've heard this, and the fact that I've heard this and I'm in the industry just goes to show that, like,
can't lie, this is giving me an argument to say that influencers make too much money, bro. If you can afford Photoshop to do that, like, what is this?
Yeah. And I for me, it's just straight up haram. Like, you're lying about you're lying about your insights. I don't know how you're considering
don't
that.
Don't worry, guys. Ramadan is coming early next month. It's here in Feb. Yeah. That period, all Photoshop, Adobe, all of these will be put on the blacklist.
But it is what it is, you know. I don't know if people still do it, but like now there's so many tools that you can check and audit.
I'm sure they all still do this with brands who have like all this so many.
Because it's one person saying yes, you know, at the on the other side of the brand. I mean, if they didn't do the test or they didn't do the check,
But don't you think as well, like, I feel like I know what the answer is going to be to this question, is like, at the end of the day, if a brand chooses to follow, like, choose someone with a high follower count against someone with organic numbers, they're just harming themselves at the end of the day.
Depends on the brand and depends on the influencer. It's very case to case. If it's, let's think of a fitness place like Decathlon, right? If they're bringing in a makeup artist influencer to come and market themselves, then obviously it's not going to help. But like, if they're bringing in a fitness influencer, like Amudi Bambi is into fitness, local influencer, then it's good. Mm. So it's case to case.
All right.
Interesting.
As long as the Asia Cup is not squandered with unnecessary influencers, I'll be a happy man.
Keep dreaming.
Oh, man.
Speaking of which, I've seen something interesting regarding football. FEFA? Is that what it's called? So what is FEFA League?
Federation of Elite Football Association. It is now, I've decided after making fun of podcasts for the last 5 years, to make fun of football.
Is it the influencer footballers or just...
No. I don't believe in influencer football leagues.
For you, that's like sports entertainment.
It's just sports entertainment. And in fact, it's my attempt to make something that is at the scale of FIFA. But on the opposite side, people worship Ronaldo, Messi, and like...
Reminding you, you're going to be entering some very dangerous waters.
It's okay. We need this rage bait. Let's go.
No, like people... are so obsessed with football that a 60-year-old will fly out from Brazil to Qatar to watch his team play, you know, or whatever. Like the amount of spending power that people have and the amount of money they waste for entertainment in sports is insane to me. Like, to me,
yeah, that's fair.
Personally,
that's fair.
Okay, I don't watch football. I don't support any team. Like, I like Ronaldo over Messi, and I like Real Madrid over Barcelona, but like, to that extent of the statement itself, like, I wouldn't kill myself for them. Like, I wouldn't fly.
It's not like you're gonna see a Madrid Barca Legends game and think, yeah, visa cost, flight, hotel, and then go, run.
But
in.
People do.
People do.
People
yeah.
People are obsessed. Like, they're. I heard there's something called like, dedicated fans for their countries that fly around with the teams and they're sitting behind the
ultras.
What the hell is that? Like, do you have that much time? Like,
I mean, no. Fun fact, you know, in some sports, it's actually a job.
It's a job.
Like, they get paid to do that.
Why is so much money being spent on Ronaldo's contract? Who are they? Where is this distraction taking people? Like, what are they doing this for? And it's obvious. It has attention. It has the whole world's attention. FIFA is the biggest marketing platform. For companies spend events. Half a million... US dollars.
Billion.
Half a billion. I'm talking about just the digital board on the game. Like, I did the math for that. I checked on ChatGPT. It said half a million US dollars per game for a spot on that. It's like, this is crazy. Why has no one attempted to do this again? And how did this start? And then I found a documentary called FIFA Uncovered on Netflix.
The day before the World Cup
release. Yeah.
Now, I didn't know that, bro. I'm so blind to all of this.
I'm telling you right now, if people like, as much as I know, like a lot of Netflix documentaries that come out and they like talk about these things, like, oh, there's the FIFA one is surprisingly accurate.
I mean, I'm watching it for the first time. I haven't finished it, but like from the gist of what I understood.
Which episode are you on right now?
They got the Coca-Cola or Pepsi Coca-Cola sponsorship, and they're building these fields in Africa.
Okay. You're yet to reach.
They're starting making money now.
Okay.
Yeah. Got a while to go.
And they're trying to like abuse the fact that that specific state had the most votes, and they're trying to buy those votes too.
Yeah, you're gonna find out more, Lord. Don't worry. There's a lot to go.
So, bro, I'm like this is crazy. How can I tap into this? And obviously, I can't produce Ronaldo or Messi level players, but I can produce the shittiest players that world has ever seen.
Ultimate Uno reverse.
Yeah, I can pull the most shitted game of football. And as a football fan, like now you like vanilla, but you'll also enjoy chocolate if you like ice cream. So if you enjoy you like professional football, you like to watch pro players play, but then you might also enjoy watching stupid players
come
play.
To the amateur leagues.
Even amateur is like on a higher level. I'm going like way
below. This is like OG FIFA 06 trainer level mode stuff.
Yeah. And so I have this WhatsApp group, which I made in March before I even thought of FIFA. And I just started hosting football matches every week, like in Caseis, in one of the grounds, turf grounds, 8v8. And it started with like 15, 16 people because it was 8v8. And then it grew because people started messaging me. Every week I would post a story. Hey, we want to play. And now the podcast reach is helping me with getting people into this whole machine. Now it's at like 40 people because I'm very selective of who I bring into the group because I have to make sure that no one fights with each other. The community's strong.
Yeah.
Everyone gets a chance to play.
It's almost like you have to build that strong community as well.
Right. And I, it's been like 4 months and they were all coming religiously twice a week playing 8v8 with each other. Mm-hmm. I started recording it on YouTube. I have four cameras set up, a GoPro in each goalpost. I started editing each thing. I was like, wow, okay, wait, this is working. Like people are watching, like 300, 200 people are watching it. And because some of my fans are, or some of my friends are already famous, like Zubair Saru comes to play, Majdi comes to play. So they're bringing in their own pull as well into the game. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, let's make this into an official tournament. So I went, I got a sponsor. I got 20K from the sponsor. And I put up 10,000 dirhams as the cash prize. And I got the venue for free from Danube Sportsville. Friends, business relation that I have with them from the last. And the sponsor was also Casa Milano, also my client from K9 from the last 5 years. And I was like, look, this is the project I'm working on. I'll put your logo on all the teams. These are the players that are coming. And worst case scenario, if this flops, I'll post a free reel for you.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Good
deal, and they were like, no brainer. They gave me the cash. I printed the jerseys. I got the teams. And I shot the whole thing. It's on YouTube. You can go see it. There's like a 3-part series.
Link in the description.
And I mean, if I don't want to ruin it for you guys, but like there's a huge twist in it in the end. And yeah, the point is, if you're going to play football professionally, I don't know the answer to this, and maybe you can correct me. What is your salary at like a league level or like... national level? Like what's the entry level salary you get?
Entry level at the like bare minimum you'd expect. I can tell it better, like, based on signing on, like, your transfer.
Let's say the biggest team, and, like, really good player. And
average transfer fee for, let's say, like, a very low-level team would probably be low millions.
No, I'm saying national level. I'm not talking FIFA.
Oh, national.
Yeah, like, local, like, local. Us. Like, people who, we're not talking about going to FIFA level, like. Regional team.
I'll tell you. Even if you're playing for like a club, maybe like one of the clubs over here in the UAE, and if you're like in the A division, like Division One, you could probably rack up to like 10K. Like
10K a month.
10K a month, right? Yeah.
Right?
Starting, yeah.
But like that's after like a lot of selections, a lot of tryouts. I'm going to give 10K to stupid players who've not done.
And I just see Josh open the pen.
Josh would release this episode. Like, I don't want
to give you reference.
I got it.
Sorry. Yeah.
But that's just my, that's the, I'll rephrase it. Like, I'll give you another take. I'm going to give 10,000 dirhams to lazy, unprofessional players.
Okay. Now you see, for the sport of football, I know a good left back and centre attack. That would be very glad to join the tournament.
No. But yeah, so as I said, it'll be like around 10K. I mean, then it depends. And for every country, really depends on how much money.
My goal is to Mr. Beastify football.
No, but if you're talking from the UAE, like the current over here, then yeah, you'd say about 10 to 15K would be like your average age.
And I'm talking about like one game. Because it's all social media. It's all like, it's hype, right?
Do you see this as like more of like an event, like how Sidemen does?
Sidemen is powered by influencers.
Yeah.
A lot of influencers. All they had the charity match in Qatar. Mm-hmm. Like all the famous people came to play.
Yeah.
I'm talking about everyday Joe, who just
He doesn't want the Sidemen charity match at Wembley Stadium. Yeah. He wants Al Qassas League.
No, but like a much more smaller.
No, but I will eventually take it to that level.
Yeah, because
I will take it to that level, but not with influencers. Okay. With
you
normal
wanted to
players.
Stay with like regular
players. Everyone who wants to be a part of this gets a chance to make real cash by playing football. And even if it's not cash, it's just you get awareness.
Yeah.
Because it's going, like eventually it gets reach.
One thing I like about this is right, like, I don't know how this is going to come off, but like, I know it's like you're saying, like, the type of players are going to come in, but you're still going to see passion playing, which is going to move the crowd. Because here, more than anything, personally, in any sport, more than talent, it's the passion that players show that, like, get you engaged. And if they're going to show that, then yeah, anyone would pay a ticket to watch.
Bro, in the game, the YouTube video that I'm talking about, we had, like, some insane arguments because people were like losing their because the referee that I got also is not the best of referees on purpose, right? Like
bro,
he gave.
Bro, where did you get this referee from?
Bro, so Davza Metro Station was like, you know, bhai sab ji, paisa nahi ho, chal de.
Like those 200 dirham per match time.
I just saw one guy just watching, like playing EAFC on his phone.
No, he was doing the ref for the previous match, and I was like, can you do it for ours then? I don't care if you do a good job. I just need content, you know?
This is your match for you? Okay, yeah, I bet, sure. Yeah. Come on.
But how is it going so far? Is it?
I mean, to be fair, the three-part series got like a total of 1,000 views.
Okay.
Which is the best I've done on YouTube in something like this that
I've
tried.
Long form.
Actually, I have done like 2,000 views on a vlog last year. Mm-hmm. But like this was completely different as an idea alone. So it hasn't become successful. It's too soon. But the idea itself is like alive. Everyone's invested. Like I spoke about the other video I was planning on bringing 50 Pakistanis and Indians. I had 150 applicants. Nope. Unfortunately, not all 50 Pakistanis could show up on the specific date. So it's like it's trial and error, bro. Like for me, if this takes another 5 years, who cares? Like
it's just like a fun passion project.
Yeah, as long as I'm, and also at the core of all of this, if this all fails, at least I got to play football and lose weight.
I mean, hey,
honestly, you know, that's a win.
That's smart.
Yeah, like worst case scenario, nothing worked out. I played football. Yeah.
Worst case scenario, at least you spend the game passing, toe punting, trying to score goals.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Maybe.
So that's FIFA, honestly. I am launching now. I'm looking for 10 official teams. Mm-hmm. I'm going to launch like a proper league where there's going to be 23 matches, group stage.
Oh.
And that's in the plans right now. I have two teams already that I've
I believe confirmed. We can make tourism a football squad.
So if I can get like the if you have football teams that will commit for 20 games, will come with I will make the jerseys for them. There's no entry fees. I don't know about the cash prize. That strictly depends on if I get a sponsor, but obviously like this is all going to be recorded. Every match is going to be posted and I'm going to roast the players that are playing. So you kind of have to be ready. You have to be ready for that bit because I'm going to meme the hell out of this.
I'm just gonna be like wait, before we continue, I just want to ask Josh, could we just see the page quickly?
Don't worry, Josh, you're almost
done.
See
the page.
Oh my god, damn. the part-time
damn. You know, if we add the other episodes, it doesn't even come to half.
I see my name as well. I think I did once.
Wait, I'm the only one that hasn't. Yeah.
Please, you've done the first episode itself. So
I don't care. There's an episode where I'm not the one being bleeped.
Well, it's fine.
But it's fine. Don't worry. Yeah.
Since we hate influencers so much,
with extreme passion.
Why are there cliques in Dubai? Like I've seen like across the world that everyone like cross merge, like cross collaborate,
like
and whatnot.
Groups, basically.
Sorry.
Like groups.
Yeah, yeah. So why is it over here? It's like you have one group. Okay, let's just say, okay, so Fahd, okay, who all in the Fahd's group? Humaid, Zubair, so Majdi. So if it's like Mariam George's group, you have there a couple of them, K9 group. So why aren't they cross? Okay, it might be because they're all different fields, but why isn't that cross collaboration over here in this country?
Good question. And as much as I've personally tried to connect and collaborate with as many influencers as possible, it all comes down to like, I'll just speak for myself.
Go for it.
In the UAE, we're all trying to make a living and we all have bills to pay. So I feel like that kind of translates down to like, if I'm collaborating with this influencer, what's in it for me? And is it going to benefit me long term in a business sense or in a social media reach sense? And that's just the mindset every content creator over here has.
So there is a bit of a professional dilemma that they face.
But I've tried to keep that thing away from myself. Like when I met Humaid, the guy was like, I don't even want to get started.
It's okay.
You have to go see his content.
Yeah, it's
to understand.
Hilarious.
No, like back then he wasn't even getting reach. Like he was like nothing. But I saw his content and I was like, okay, I need to work with this guy. And even then, like I'm thinking long term as a business end, like eventually either he's gonna join me in K9 or as content is gonna be a great collaboration. And yeah, people in Dubai are just stuck up in general. So that's the other
thing. Every single field. So it's not just.
Yeah.
No, I feel like that's also unfortunate. It's an unfortunate situation because like there is so much place for growth, not just in the world of media with anything, but sometimes there is a bit of a trap or a cycle you get caught into.
Like, bro, a typical conversation between influencers would be like, hey, what's up? Yeah, we met. Like, let's say we met at an event. Let's collaborate. Let's do something together. Okay, are you thinking now from your brain of content creation?
Or just
like, no, like, what are you going to make that benefits the other guy who you're going to collaborate with? Mm. Or are you just thinking what's in it for yourself? I always try, like, this whole podcast thing allowed me to collaborate with so many influencers because it's super easy. They don't have to do anything. Yeah. They come in. But, like, collaborating with some people is like doing an assignment in university, you know? Like, so
you're just stuck with the group which you don't even like. Yeah. You'll have, like, so, four people. Makes sense.
Graduated for a
I
reason.
Think that could be another reason why people have not seamlessly, like, you see these groups because collaborating with everyone is not as easy. Like, maybe your content doesn't align with them or the way you think or brainstorm.
I mean, that's the thing. As you said, the Sidemen charity matches, like, it was not just Sidemen alone. Eventually, they brought in YouTubers. Yeah. So, yeah, of course, in the end of the day, it's gain attraction, engagement, revenue, and all of that. But it's kind of weird. And I've only seen it over here where they don't cross-collaborate. It's like, you name an influencer, you'll know who's part of that clique or group. Yeah. And then you can just name them quickly.
Do you, if I may ask, do you think it's a bit more like, compared to so many other places, that's still in its growing stages here?
Maybe? I think it's growing. It's been growing for like the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And the creators that benefited from that rode that wave over the last few years. And I think it will only grow further. I can't see the foreseeable future.
Mm. Of course.
I don't know how the market's going to shift.
Mm-hmm.
My best bet is that it's just going to get better and better because now more and more brands will want to get the reach in that space. Mm-hmm. Like, if I started a brand today, I would first think of what influencer or what TikToker or what micro-influencer can I bring in to do UGC content for my brand,
mm-hmm.
apart from my own content machine.
Of course.
Right? So, yeah, there's definitely... But the money to be made will be less because there'll be more competition. So what you could make as an influencer, as a content creator in 2020 will not be the same in 2025 starting out.
Fair.
Like, it might be less.
Because, I mean, it's also like there's a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
The just supplies, individual as well. Like, it's getting, for lack of a better term, it is slowly getting saturated here as well.
Yes. So innovation is extremely important, which is why I kind of just hit the button for Pfeffer. And I was like, before TikTok shuts down.
Just saying, though, I just wanted to remind, if you don't want a cam and a left back, commentators. Hey, man, listen. Okay. I'm a guy that likes to roast people, okay? You've seen me.
Yeah.
I would happily like...
Unhinged at times. I think he'll fit well with your...
Okay.
I can happily stand behind a mic. You want me to go for it? You were the same, okay? Don't even deny it.
No one needs to know this. I'm being respectful.
Yeah,
you saw that lish. This episode of respect is wild.
Final question. So what's next in the Fahad Kaleem journey?
Yeah, bro,
spaced out for a second over there.
Like, I'm not one who plans life, honestly, and I think I should be by now.
It's worked out for you so far.
So far, yeah. I should definitely, losing weight is like on one of the top things to do.
Again, 75% discount. I can get you.
Okay.
My dad's business is like in like 200K of debt since the last 5 years. So now with the money that I've... Wow, he just called
me. Damn, you just manifested your dad calling. You got to pick up or...
I think... No, it's fine. I'll once we're done. It's probably calling about some money issues. Yeah.
Sorry, 200 debt goal.
Yeah. So I think the next few months to a year is going to be trying to get them out of that kind of hole that they've gotten themselves into, which is honestly, if you've... He's over there because he was making sure that we don't go back to Pakistan. And if he didn't do that sacrifice, I wouldn't be here. So it's only, for me, it's like, it's only logical now that I have to take care of them and the business and everything. So I'm looking into that now. So I might be doing some boring financial stuff in the next few months on the side.
Adulting, basically.
Adulting, more or less.
Yeah, so that's on the pipeline. And yeah, bro. Honestly, not much. Play Call of Duty, play RuneScape.
DOG games.
Of course.
Yeah.
Are you a CSGO player?
No, Black Ops.
Ah.
Yeah.
Come on. This is a cultured individual. He's been in those lobbies.
Yes.
And that's about it. Tanuro, do you want to do the outro?
You're not giving me a choice, are you? If you bottle that opening.
7 out of 10 by the professional, so I'll take it.
You'll take it. Yeah. Okay, but yeah, of course, once again, Fahd, thank you. For as busy of an individual as you are, we're so grateful to have had you on this episode.
This was great. This was fun. Loved it.
Of course, to everybody watching, we will be tagging and putting all of Fahad's links in the description. Make sure to check out his content. Check out K9. Drop them a like, follow, subscribe, turn on post notifications. If you guys haven't already, make sure to follow us at MDXUnplugged on Instagram. We're obviously here on YouTube. Subscribe, leave a like. And I think we will see you for the next episode of MDX Unplugged, Unfiltered, Unscripted University Life.
What did I miss now?
Nothing.
Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
What did I miss over there?
Nothing. I'm just...